Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host for today, Ben Borgman, the Executive Director of Disciple First. And again, we're an organization that is passionate about helping you make and multiply disciples like Jesus. And today we have, I'm really excited about this episode today because it kind of hits to my heart of really interviewing a business leader, because I spent 15 years in business before I went into ministry. But before that, before we kind of introduce our guests, I want you to, if you're out there, if you're a church leader, man, there's so much potential just sitting in your church. The people in your church, the business leaders, man, they're there ready to be poured into and ready to be just kind of activated. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And so we've got Pastor Craig Etheridge on the episode with us today.
Hey, good to see you, yep. Brother Ben.
Always with his cold Topo Chico.
Absolutely.
Again, we're looking for a sponsorship. We need it. And then also, so really who we're going to hear from a lot today and just their story and be encouraged is Chad Alvarez. Chad, welcome to the call today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ben. So Chad is a business leader here at Cross Creek Church. Him and his family are members here, but he also serves on the board of Disciple First. And I'm telling you, our board, Craig's the president of our board as well. Our board is an amazing resource to our organization. You're talking about gifts, talents, passion, heart, advice, wisdom. And we are extremely blessed to have the board we do. And again, that they are engaged in what we do. We're not just here's what we're doing. And they say, great. I mean, they're truly wanting to help. They're truly wanting to engage and be a resource to us. And I'm super thankful for Chad, you serving, and the rest of the board that we have.
Well, thank you for those words. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm telling you what, our board not only has great wisdom and leadership, but they're bought in to making disciples.
Yeah.
And they've got a global vision. And so, Chad, super excited to have you on the show here. And we get to talk about what God's doing in your life.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you, and super humbled to be invited to do this, and feel like this is a real privilege to talk about this.
We were talking yesterday. We had invited him to be on the podcast a while back, and we were sending him notes and things for the deal, and he told his, would you mind sharing what he told his boys, who are out of college in the business world now too, so a little older. And if anybody has older teenage and up boys, they tend to get funnier, they think, as they get older. But he was telling them that he was on the podcast. Share us what they kind of, their encouragement that they gave you.
Well, yeah. So I shared with them that I was invited to get on a podcast, and one of them looked at me and said, "Dad, do you know what a podcast is?" And I said, I know what it is. I'm not sure how they make it. And I wouldn't be able to air it.
Yeah. So,
and they said, well, good luck.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much.
Now you're seeing how the sausage is made right here.
That's right.
You got to love those encouraging younger.
Yeah.
Especially boys. But yeah, so this conversation that we're going to have, we're doing these seasons. It's a little bit different, but it's everyday disciple makers, just people in business, people in sports, people in education that are truly making disciples and leveraging their influence where God's placed them. And I think it's extremely, like I said at the beginning, it's extremely powerful to engage and to just a resource that we have in our local church. The people amongst our church are a valuable resource when it comes to making disciples to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to bring to you some great stories, and we know that hopefully that will encourage you and also motivate you to see the potential of every person in your church as a disciple making leader.
Yeah, and like I said, when we first started off, you know, business leaders especially have a close place in my heart because that's where God captivated me for that. My life was actually like more than just making money and showing up to work and going home, that actually I could fulfill a purpose for the kingdom of God. And I had people in my life that were maybe 5-10 years older than me that really, you know, said encouraging words to me, whether that was modeling what it looked like to be in business every day, but honoring God and making him the priority and his kingdom the priority and making disciples, or it's, you know, encouraging words like, hey, you know what? Every day when you go to work, you're stepping into one of the largest mission fields in the world. And so that was extremely motivating for me in giving me the skills and encouragement of what does it look like to pour into your employees? What does it look like as you're, you know, for me, I was walking through factories all the time and perfect opportunities for spiritual conversations. Honestly, when I went into ministry, it was harder to do ministry, I found, because at least when without people from far, that are far from God or getting around normal people, I have to be way more intentional now when I'm in full-time ministry than I did when I was in work. There was people in crisis always around me. It
yeah,
was great.
Absolutely. You know, Ben, you know my story. It was three businessmen that taught me how to make disciples.
Yeah.
I had not been discipled by a pastor. I wasn't discipled by somebody on staff. It was three businessmen in my first church that I saw them sharing the gospel with coworkers. I saw them discipling people on their lunch break in their office. And I said, I want you to teach me how to do that. And so I always feel like I'm giving back when I disciple a business guy, because I said, this is just coming back around because I was discipled by businessmen. And it's just super dear to my heart. So I'm super excited about our conversation today and what is happening in Chad's life and what we can learn from him.
Yeah. Super, super. Do not discount what God can do through you, business person. If you're a businessman, a businesswoman out there, God can do amazing things through your influence if you'll just be available.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus chose common, ordinary men. He didn't choose future rabbis. He chose fishermen and tax collectors and business guys to change the world. And he still does that today. Yeah, and so we're excited, Chad, to hear your story. So, Chad, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your family, a little bit about maybe where you went to school and the business that you run right now.
Yeah. Well, I have a great family, beautiful wife who's very supportive of all that I do. Her name is Tiffany, and we've had two sons, Austin and Wes, and they're both married to incredible daughter-in-laws, and they've both provided us with and blessed us with probably the joys of our life
there
now,
you go.
And that is our grandchildren. And Weston and Cal, and so with a third on the way. And
oh, wow,
so,
there you go.
Here we go.
Yeah, you get to that stage of life, and grandkids will change it.
Oh, no doubt.
That's for certain.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of us. You know, we all live close by, you know, as, you know, the kids and families go to church here as well, and so we're blessed to have all that. You know, right here in our hip pocket. And, you know, that's kind of it. So, you know, Craig, Ben, you know, I started off, my college career was long. And went to multiple schools, but wound up graduating from Texas Christian University with a degree in finance. Immediately went into banking and spent some time there while I was in banking. got my MBA from Dallas Baptist University and spent, about 5 years in banking, and then went into what I thought was private, larger business, but they quickly went public, which was an interesting ride as well.
I'm sure.
But learned real quickly that wasn't the environment for me, you know, that public, you know, just and really kind of was led. I was traveling a lot and was gone kind of Sunday afternoon to Friday evening and come back and for a day and a half and then leave again. And it just really wasn't working. So left that position and came back here to Colleyville, and we started our own business, and that was, I guess, about 27 years ago now.
Okay,
and
yeah.
So we've been doing that ever since. Yeah.
Now, the business that you're in, you're in partnership with family members.
We are. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. We want to hear all the stories.
You want to hear?
Really.
Well,
you got to go home tonight. So, yeah, right. Just keep that in mind.
No, the blessing in it is I have a great family. Great. Yeah. Not just my immediate family with my wife and my kids, but, you know, I've been fortunate to be blessed with great people around me. And it's kind of three primary family groups. One is my father-in-law and mother-in-law. One is my brother-in-law and his wife as well. And so we kind of set off on this journey together, really not knowing what we were going to do, Craig.
Yeah.
I mean, we said, hey, this sounds good. Let's go do it. And then we turned the key, got in the billy, and thought, okay, here we are. What are we doing?
What are we doing here? Yeah.
And so, you know, it really did. It kind of tested us a little bit. But our relationship, they're great, godly people, number one. And I think that really sets the foundation and the tone for our business relationship. And it's really been, I don't have any crazy stories to tell you. It's been very, very good, very, very peaceful relationship and solid in that regard. And I'm really blessed to be working with great, great people who are God-fearing individuals.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about discipleship, they have that on their mind as well each and every day when we wake up. So being aligned with folks like that and family members like that really helps.
No doubt.
Really.
Tell us a little bit more about your father-in-law, because I know he played a very critical role in your life, both personally and professionally.
Yeah. So he's an individual that from day one, before Tiffany and I were even married, he poured into me and invested in me. And quite honestly, I stepped back and I thought, why is this individual doing this for me, right? And you know, and there was just something different about him, you know, from day one, right? And I thought, you know, he doesn't have to be doing this. And he would come alongside me and be there in the middle of the night when we're painting the walls of our new first home, right? Or he would be inviting me to Promise Keepers, right? Or, you know, hey, let's grab lunch after church or whatever along the way. And this is prior to us working together. And I thought, you know, it was a head scratcher to me at the time. And I just didn't really grow up in an environment like that where I had a mentor. You know, and so godly individual, you know, if I had to describe a discipleship maker and someone who lived out that he would come to mind really quickly there, Craig. And so along those same lines in the business world, he was a very accomplished businessman, and he would constantly just invest in me and my brother-in-law for that. And we would refer to him as a sounding board. And I think that's what we like to think about him. But he always had a way of sounding to us before we asked.
Right? Yeah.
and I say that he wasn't forcing anything upon us. It was a relationship, you know, it was kind of the, and he just, he had a heart for investing in people. Mm-hmm. And I happen to be lucky enough to be one of those persons.
Yeah. Tell that story about when you asked him for permission to marry his daughter.
Yeah. And so it's a great story. And I mean, and that story lives on throughout generations now within our family. But, you know, again, he had a way of doing things in a very simple manner that were very impactful and powerful. And so I went to his office and I walked up the stairs and boy, I was shaking. and I sat down and I said, Don, you know, this is, you know, what we want to do here, to ask for permission to do this. And I couldn't even tell you all the conversation we had, but the lasting thing, he said yes. However, and he slipped the sheet of paper across, and it was Matthew, and talked about building your house on the rock, and that's the foundation. You know, winds blow, storms come in, and that rock. And he said, if you promise to me that you'll live by this, and he slid me a sheet of paper. And just, I mean, to this day, just, you know, again, it's that disciple, it's that investing in. He didn't give me a lecture. He just came alongside me and said yes, put his arm around me, not physically, but I felt it, and slid that sheet of paper.
And, called you to more, right?
Yeah, and actually still have it today in my Bible. that's kind of the story there. I mean, pretty simple, but the impact that had on me and generations to come.
Right.
You know, with my boys, I was able to share the same story with them and say, you know, you're getting married. You need to build your house here. Incidentally, my nephew, who happens to be out in Auburn, Alabama, just got engaged a few weeks ago, and he used the same verse.
Wow.
Yeah.
And didn't you have that verse engraved on a stone that moved out to the ranch or someplace that tell a little bit about
that. Yeah. So we did, Craig. We took Don and Elizabeth out of town, and the whole family went, and it was their anniversary. And we thought, what do we get them for their anniversary? And, you know, you think about it, and, you know, you think about all the normal stuff and thought, you know, that's just not who they are. You know, we really want to do something unique. Well, somewhere along the line, I believe it was Tiffany. It wasn't me. I'm not creative. I'm not creative enough for this. But she thought, we need to have this engraved on a rock. Well, Craig, I'm thinking a rock that's maybe this
big. Yeah, right.
This rock took a piece of machinery to me.
She's like, Boulder is her idea of the rock.
Right. And so we got with some folks, and we had, you know, Matthew 7:24-25 engraved on in that stone. They did not know we did this until we got out of town and we were having a family dinner, and we went around the table, we were sharing things that we were impactful from their marriage to us,
yeah,
and what we appreciated. And somewhere along the line, we shared that we bought them a rock.
Not a pet rock.
You're right. And Elizabeth, my mother-in-law, got big eyes, and she said, "Where is this rock?" Envisioning that we dropped it in the middle of the driveway.
Right, right.
But no, to this day, it sits in their backyard, and where they can see it, you know, where Elizabeth can see it outside of her kitchen window, and it has a little landscape light that shines upon it. But just a powerful verse when you're talking about building families and that. So, yeah.
You know, you really, Don was, he was discipling you. He was investing in you.
That's right.
Not just professionally, but as a person.
That's right.
And showing you his love and coaching you up. And I know you see him in such a profound way. And then Don went home to be with the Lord here recently.
Yeah,
talk us through that.
Well, you know, he had been diagnosed, right when we started business together many, many years ago, with cancer. And he had fought that, and it went into remission a couple different times and came back this past year in 2024, and weren't real sure. It was a long stretch, but here over the last half of 2024, of a lot of long hospital stays and doctor visits and blood work, things of that nature. But I really think, you know, when you talk about God's ultimate perfect plan, you know, we don't, or I think about it this way. I think about it, I'm like, I don't always understand it. Most of the time I don't, quite honestly. And many times I don't agree with it.
Right.
But, and hopefully God will forgive me for not always agreeing, but I think that also builds faith, right? I think that's a you know, when we have to work through situations and understand why, you know, this isn't the way I want it, Lord. And so there was a lot of that last fall. But, you know, Don was just steadfast in his, you know, never thought about himself through all that. He was always thinking about the family and Elizabeth and how do you, you know, how could he make things better for other people? But I'll tell you, when you talk about discipleship and you talk about, Don was doing that through these hospital visits and, mm-hmm. and he spent, I can't remember the exact days, but it was, I think over 50 days in the hospital last fall. And the amount of people that he impacted in some form or fashion that would come in and go, why are you so happy? You know, or y'all, you know, you always have the kindest words to say. We were down at one of the greatest hospitals, I think, that I've ever been to, MD Anderson in Houston. And I walked in and Tiffany had been down there for a few days and I drove down there and obviously Elizabeth was there. And on the board, it said, smile, comma, you might as well. And then it said Don. And I looked at that whiteboard and I thought, what is that? And so I asked Tiffany, I said, what is that? And she said, well, the nurse had come in that morning and said, Don, you're always smiling. And he goes, well, you might as well. And this is where it was kind of some of his last days. And I thought, you know, that smile, those kind words that he presented to people, in my eyes, is a really strong, you know, form of discipleship.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. How are you reaching people to shine that light of God upon them? And he did that to the very end, and not just for others, but blessing our family as well. And so, truly incredible man.
Okay. Well, he's been such a blessing in your life, and man, the church was packed out, and everybody had a story about how Don was so faithful in his church, so faithful to the Lord, poured into his pastors, loved his pastors.
Yep.
You know, that's just a caliber of man that leaves a legacy, and that's mm-hmm. exactly what he's done. Right. And so when you think about a disciple-making leader, Don is a disciple-making leader.
That's right.
And he poured into you. And now you're kind of sliding into that role of now being the leader of of your business, but also leading your adult sons, and then they've got grandsons. So you're starting to say, okay, wow, now I'm kind of taking what Don taught me and I'm passing that on. And that's a real blessing. It's a legacy that you're wanting to continue on. So how did you talked about Don, kind of how he discipled you personally. How did he, and how do you merge this divide many times between business and ministry? I know a lot of people talk about the difference between the secular and the sacred, right? And that these are two different things. How do those merge together in your world?
That's a great question, Craig. And I think back in my career, right? And I think the common thought is those are separate. And I entered the job market and entered my career, and I think I did have those separate, Craig. And I would go in, and it's drive, 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 and how do I get more done? How do I be more productive? How do I have greater earnings? All those type of things. And you start hitting roadblocks, right? And you're thinking, man, what is going on here? You know, and I'm still asking the Lord for direction and all that. And somewhere along early in my career, and it quite honestly probably had a lot to do with Don and his mentorship and his discipleship, but you realize that I'm doing it all wrong, right? And the path for business development, for career development, is right here in this book. Mm-hmm. And you know, God lays it all out in writing if we'll just seek it out. And so, you know, through those times, I've learned, and I wish I could say I was 100% disciplined in doing this, but I'm not, right? And I fail at this and have to reel myself back in, or someone will reel it in for me. But really, I strive to make that seamless, right? And so if I can wake up and visualize it, as you do, opening the doors to the church,
right,
and ministering to people, or Disciple First does, and being intentional, proactive, and deliberate in reaching people, if we can do the same thing in the business world, you know, that's where we should be in our discipleship ministry. That's the way I view it, and it really, it seems to resonate, you know, with the people that we touch, right? And you've got, you know, people that comment about Don. Why are you always smiling? Why do you always have these positive words? And if we can do that each and every day, that's what I strive to do in business. And it's not easy. You know, it's really not, because there's pressures out there in the world. And the common idea is, you know, there's the secular, the business right. side, and even the social side, you know, and then, well, I'll show up on Sunday and I'll get things straight for a day, and then I'll go back on Monday and do that. But it doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. It's a failing a formula at the end of the day. So I try to constantly live that each and every day, that it, you know, it's less about business and more about touching people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so important, you know, from a just personal standpoint. That's your personal viewpoint is, hey, every client is a potential spiritual conversation. You know, every person that works for you carries their own burdens and issues at home. And I know particularly when you were navigating COVID, this was a huge thing. You and I were actually in a grow group together during that time. And I remember you talking about just how weighty that was for you caring for your employees, wanting to make sure they were safe, but also you had to care for the business too, and juggling all those things. So, you know, I've seen you have that kind of shepherding care for people in a business context. And I think that causes people to gravitate to you because they see something real and something genuine in you that's not what they get with other people, you know? But I know you've really worked hard in your business to try to actually leverage it in a ministry way. You know, you've got, even down to what you call it, and you have these family meetings and you do some things to use your business as a way to really advance the kingdom. So what does that look like?
Yeah, you're right. We try to be very intentional about how we do that. And you know, as I mentioned, I didn't start my career with this intention, but you learn, right? And when you talk about legacy, you know, with Don and his parents were fantastic, godly people as well. I mean, you start talking about this legacy. Where would I be as an individual if I didn't have this legacy, right? So I have to think about that, you know, and say, what do I want for my children, my grandchildren, my great, you know, for generations to come? And then how can we reach people outside of our immediate family unit? And so that intentionality, I think, is where it starts, right? And so, you know, we are trying to talk less about, we obviously need to make money, otherwise we can't pay the bills. Right. So not that we ignore that, but let's lead with, you know, what is God's word? What are you, you know, what is it telling us to do? Where does it want to be? Are we seeking God's path, right? Mm-hmm. Or do we realize that his plan is perfect? You know, the name of our office is 323 Capital. What's interesting, we just thought, well, you know, sometimes it's hard to get a legal entity formed. So, you know, who's going to have 323 capital? So that was our initial. Well, it turns out that we get a lot of people ask us, what's 323? And, well, that is after Colossians 3:23, which reads, you know, whatever you do, you know, do it with all your heart unto the Lord and not for man, which sounds very, very simple in itself. But if you dissect that a little bit, is where we're really at, right? So we're telling our children or our employees, you know, whatever you do, we're not telling you what to do. God's got that plan for you, and he's got that answer for you. Seek that first and foremost. So whatever you do, you know, our words are, go find out what that is. And inevitably, it'll change over the years, and God will lead people in different directions and challenge them a little bit more. But whatever you do, do it with all your heart. So pour into it, you know, and that's where, you know, I think, the Bible says God wants us to work hard, right? There's not going to be anything easy. Matter of fact, I think doing it God's way can challenge us more than we can probably challenge ourselves. So pour into it, work with all your heart, but understand why you're doing it, right? You're doing it for God and you're not doing it for man. Yeah. And so that's equally important. So the message and the idea that I have to constantly remind myself of and remind family members of why we're doing it, right? And we're doing that for the glory of God. So what does that look like? You know, I think of the parable of the talents, you know, and God gives us all talents. He gives us all resources and all that. And what are we going to do with that? Right. And he gives different things to different people. And ultimately we're going to have to answer for how we steward those things. And so, you know, when it comes to business, there's probably a lot of questions you could ask me and I wouldn't have a definite answer as to why. You know, one day I'm going to hopefully be able to ask the good Lord, you know, why this or why that, you know, probably be a really long conversation. I've got a lot of questions, but, and so, you know, but the idea that constantly look for if God's door is open or closed. And I always pray that, you know, you might have to slam it on me because sometimes I don't pick up real easily on those things, but you know, how do we, you know, so when you get those talents and you get those resources, how are we stewarding them? I firmly believe that God blesses us in most cases, you know, in all cases for reasons. And the resources that we are able to gain out of business, it's really my duty, my obligation, ours as a family unit to reinvest those in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And so how do we, you know, and we really take that seriously. Mm. And we feel like, you know, he wants our firsts and we better be really good and intentional about doing those, yeah, those things. And I think it really is pretty simple, that God provides, and we better pay attention to how we reinvest that in his kingdom. Yeah. And we have a kind of a phrase in our office, and it's, you know, there's ROI, which is return on investment, but we throw in the K, which is return on God kingdom investment.
Yeah.
Right. So we throw that in there and you know, we like to see it. It brings a lot of joy to us to watch that. But I think, you know, we're called to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're not honoring what God has provided us, I think that would be a very detrimental thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think with that being said, before we started this podcast, you and I were kind of talking offline, and you talked about this partnership with, you know, business leaders and church leaders in advancing the kingdom. And, like you said, you used to see those as kind of two different spheres, right? Yeah. But now you see these merging together, and there's a partnership in that. Explain a little bit about that, because I think some business leaders here that may be listening to this may say, well, you know, I get I need to do that, but I'm not really sure how that works with the church, right? So what does that look like? So maybe you can unpack that a little bit.
We talked, you know, before the podcast began, and, you know, and I had the same approach, and I'm sure there's many, many people out there that are listening that may be thinking the same thing. Well, how does that work, right? No, we go to church, and Craig preaches, and I'll call him if I'm in need of something, or Craig will call me if, you know, he's in need of something, and that's our relationship. And I'm using us
right.
specifically,
sure.
but let's think about this as a global item. And thought here. And so, you know, I think in the discipleship model, if you will, there's no separation there, right? And it's how do you come together? But it takes the joining of, you know, the ministry side to say, hey, we recognize that these business folks across the board have a lot of they are constantly each and every day touching people, interacting with people and all that. So how do we align with those folks? And the same thing with business people saying, how do I get, you know, Craig, you mentioned we went through the discipleship material together, and that taught me a lot. I mean, it taught me a lot, and it helped equip me more and more with great details. I mean, the material there was fantastic to my development, right? And for my confidence and my ability to go out in the world.
Yeah.
And had we not done that, had you not reached out to me and had I not said yes,
right
that's where the right. partnership begins.
Right.
We wouldn't be there.
Right.
You know, I mean, And I know you well enough, Craig and Ben, that y'all have your eyes wide open and want to absorb and ask questions from the folks in the business community. And I think that's the key. When I say partnership, it's both parties, both sides, if you will, saying, you know, how do we work together? Mm-hmm. You've got a pool over here that we can merge together, and we bring those together, and that's very, very important, you know, in the discipleship world. And again, you go back to the Bible, and Jesus was walking the streets, the shorelines, yep. I mean, where he went, and the people that he found, and being ridiculed, and for, you know, how dare you know, be reaching out to these folks. You know, much like that.
Right.
I mean, he aligned with business people.
He did.
Common folks, all these. And that's where I think the discipleship mm-hmm. has no boundaries.
That's right.
God doesn't want it to be have lines put on it, right? He wants it to go, yeah. you know, to all corners.
I love that. I love what you just said, Chad, because I mean, you and our friends, we go shooting together, we yep. go do stuff together and trips together. But it is so true that Jesus really, I mean, he sought out business people. He drew them into his ministry. The Apostle Paul did the same thing. Lydia, you know, was a businesswoman that bought and sold stuff, and she was a part of that ministry and advanced it. And you know, there is a neat, you know, I think many pastors think, well, those business guys, they, you know, they got their own thing, and, you know, and I don't know that I would have much to contribute to them. And when that's just not true, you know, your investment in them is, as a person, helps them to walk with God more and helps them to be better dads and better leaders and better influencers and better light where they are. But then also there's kind of a give and take too. Then they want to, you know, come alongside you and dream together, maybe help make you a better leader. Maybe you can learn some things from them. Maybe you can partner together. And I've seen this wonderful synergy between pastors and business leaders. Again, I said earlier in the podcast, I personally was discipled by business guys. So I see that value and I don't ever see that distinction anymore. And, so I just want to encourage pastors, if you have business guys in your church and you think, well, I couldn't really contribute much to them, don't sell yourself short. You know, they may be thinking, I wish somebody would come alongside me and just help me walk with God, you know, and help me learn to be a better dad and better husband. And then through that relationship, God may birth opportunities that you can work on together, you know, and just dream, well, how can we reach your employees more? How can we reach more guys like you? And who knows, there may be something that pops out of that, that let's do that together. And what a joy it is for both, right? And it's reciprocal, right? It's not like only one benefits from the other. It's both are benefiting from that relationship. And so it all comes out of this personal investment, just like Don personally invested in you. Right. That personal investment needs to flow both directions.
And Craig, I think, you know, I love what we've already talked about, Chad, your story and the legacy that Don's lived and that you're carrying on now is great. I want to take a quick break, but I want to come back. I want you to discuss maybe some practical ways that you're actually engaging business leaders, because I know it's a regular part of your everyday calendar or your every week calendar. So let's put a little bit of skin on that, but let's take a quick break.
Are you making disciples in your church? How would you know for sure? You know, most pastors agree that the church's mission is to make disciples, but when you ask them, how do you do this? Well, the room falls silent. What if there was a clear pathway for making disciples? Listen, that pathway actually exists. As a younger pastor, I realized that I was actually following ministry trends more than I was following Jesus' model for ministry. And that reality led me to study the life of Christ. And in that process, I discovered how Jesus transformed common, ordinary men into world changers. And we have distilled that training into the Grow Series. The Grow Series is a 3-book disciple-making tool that trains men and women on how to walk with God, how to reach their world, and how to invest in a few. Each book is just 7 weeks and designed to be used in a small group or in any really disciple-making context. Churches across the country and around the world are using the Grow Series and seeing their church really begin to multiply disciples like Jesus. Why not check out the Grow Series and see how it can help you make disciples who multiply? Check out this and other great resources at disciplefirst.com. That's disciplefirst.com.
Well, welcome back. We're having a great conversation with Chad Alvarez and Pastor Craig, really talking about, you know, a businessman as a disciple-making leader. Just we've heard a lot about legacy, leaving a legacy as a business leader, and just really the potential for impact that you have as a businessman or a businesswoman. And really, Craig, right before our break, you and Chad were discussing ways to engage business people. And I know you do a lot of this. This is a part of your regular schedule. So really just help maybe give some examples of how you're engaging business people to really invest in them and call them to more, but also maybe how are you involving them in other areas of ministry in the church as a resource?
Yeah, absolutely. So just a couple of practical things. If I'm a disciple maker, then I've got to find somebody to invest in, right? So I'm always looking, you know, meeting new people, finding out what they do. And praying, Lord, bring somebody across my path that you want me to invest my life into. And so as I'm doing that, almost everybody I'm going to run into is going to be a business person, right? I don't have a lot of pool of other pastors in my church. So it's going to be business leaders. So that's naturally who I gravitate to. Mm-hmm. I personally like hanging out with business guys. I learn a lot from them. I engage with them, and I just love it. So I think it starts with that. Just who can I pour my life into, and praying and asking God to lead you to men that you can invest in. And again, I would just say, pastors, you know, you have something to give these guys. They're looking to you for spiritual encouragement and leadership. And you can help that. And you can really, you know, you can add value to their life just in their own personal walk with God. Yep. And so I would lead with that. That's what Jesus did. He walked along the shoreline. He called out these men. He got into their world. He went where they worked. He hung out where they are. And then through those natural relationships, he called some to follow him. So I think that's the model of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I try to do is I try to say, out of guys that are in our church, maybe some have been discipled, maybe they haven't, but how do I call them up to a greater cause? Mm-hmm. You know, because many business leaders, like everybody else, we all get siloed in kind of what we do. You know, we kind of focus in on our one thing and like saying, hey, there's a whole world out here. I remember going to Torchy's Tacos with a guy, and he's a very successful business guy. And I started showing him the steps that Jesus led his disciples through. And I said, you're right here. And I literally pointed on this graph. This is where you are. This is where you could be. And I said, don't sell yourself short, thinking that you're just only good for business. God wants you to fish for men. He wants you to have an internal impact that's much greater than the impact maybe that you would have without him, right? And so business, that's what turned you, right? You were like, oh my gosh, God's calling me to a higher vision. And Jesus was so good at that. And so I want to be good at that. I want to call guys up and, hey, join me. Let's do this together. Let's pray together. Let's see what God does through us together. And I find that when I said that to that business guy at that taco stand, he said, I've been waiting my whole life for this. Isn't that amazing? I was shocked by his response. I've been waiting my whole life. I thought I just go to church and I sit in a pew and I give and that's it. And he goes, man, there's more to this. So I just think there's a lot of guys waiting on you, Pastor, to tell them that there's more. Yeah. And show them that there's more. Another thing I try to do is I'll do some events where I'll take a group of guys and we'll go hunting together, and I enjoy doing that. So it gives me common ground and we enjoy this event together. But then somewhere in that event, I'm gonna challenge them. I'm gonna say, all right, it's time for you guys to step up. We got kingdom work to do.
Yeah.
And I find that business guys particularly like that challenge. They like to step up. They want to play a higher level. I say, I see you in playing a greater role than what you're playing right now. And so now, again, like Chad, they have to say yes to that, you know. And sometimes they're like, well, I'm too busy or whatever. And that's on them. You know, that's the choice that they have to make. But you as a pastor need to find creative ways to engage, to be with business leaders, and to call them up to higher levels of discipleship and higher levels of influence and in their church. You know, yeah, finding places for them to play other than just handing out bulletins.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing wrong with handing out bulletins, but some of these guys have got a lot to offer.
Oh yeah.
And instead of being intimidated by them, you need to see that as a tremendous resource that God has brought to you that needs to be leveraged for kingdom work. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And then just being a great friend, you know, just being a friend, you know, a lot of these business guys can get very isolated. You know, they're in their work. There's sometimes work is very cutthroat and they're in conflict a lot. And just being a friend to them, yeah, you know, is, and you need a friend too. And it's good to have a friend that's not in ministry, right? Yeah. They could just say, okay, you need to not worry about that, Pastor.
Probably relating to this, a lot of the same conflicts and things that right, you're dealing with leading at a higher level that they're probably dealing with. So there's a lot of relatability and commonality, yeah, even though one might be in the business world,
Totally. I remember I was on the board of a hospital, and I would have to meet with the CEO once a month as the chairman of the board, and we met, and I would tell him all the leadership issues I'm dealing with. He goes, we're living the same life. I got to deal with the same things, you know? And so it was funny to realize there is a lot of commonality that we can relate and we can learn from each other. So I think, pastors, you can do that. I would challenge you to be intentional with that. And I guess I'm going to pitch it to Chad because Chad's kind of on the receiving end or the other end of that equation. Chad, what are some things, if you were talking to business leaders, what are some things you would encourage them to do to be more engaged in that ROKI, right? That ROKI, that yeah, return on kingdom investment. What would you encourage them to do?
Well, first thing you have to do is just take that step, right? You have to make up in your mind that you want to do it. right? And so then it is, what's the plan, right? So where do I go next, right? And so, you know, first and foremost, the Bible lays it all out. So dive into that. You're calling on pastors to get engaged. I would call on the business people to get engaged, but also reach out to their pastors and say, how do we do this collectively, right? Yeah. How do we disciple collectively? It's God providing resources, right? Mm-hmm. And he has everyone in a certain place. So seek those out. And then I think my final thought there is, as a business person, we like quick movement, right? We want results, and that's what we're after. Be patient, but be steadfast, right? It takes time. Take the step, develop the plan, and then implement it, but realize that it takes time.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I saw in Don and I see in you is both of you are just great friends to your pastor, you know? And Don would have his pastors over and go hunt with them and do things with them. And you and I hang out together. And I would just say, business guys, you know, sometimes your pastor is the loneliest guy in the room.
Right.
And, you know, you just taking an interest in him and just encouraging him, going out and doing something fun together, may be just a blessing to him.
That's right.
And a lot of times they think, oh, pastors, they got it all together. They live up on the high mountain, you know, or something. And this is not true, you know? And so you reaching out, loving them, encouraging them, praying for them. I can't tell you what it means to me when I get a text from a business guy says, hey, I'm praying for you today. I mean, that's humbling in a lot of ways. And it's also encouraging to me that, hey, we are in this together. We are praying together. And how can I help you, pastor? You know, what are some things that I could do to lift up your arms, you know, in this way? These are great conversations you can have with your pastor that can really lead to something great.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So thank you for doing that in my life, brother.
Well, thank you, Craig.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think this is super helpful. I love your perspective, Chad, just your experience and the legacy that you're carrying on, that you're leaving yourself, but also carrying on Don's legacy. I think we can all learn from that no matter where we are. And Craig, thank you for, you know, speaking into the lives of pastors and saying, hey, there is potential sitting right there. There is a resource, a very valuable resource in the people. But business leaders, men and women, what I would say to you, your life is worth more than just a bottom line, a name on a door, climbing the corporate ladder. Don't sell yourself short. I think, as Craig put it, your life can be extremely impactful if you'll just seek that kingdom investment like Chad is doing. So, again, thank you, Chad, for being on the call today on the podcast. And so, just as you as a listener, we're with Disciple First, we're always here for just a resource for you. We have in the show notes, we have ways that you can connect with us. So feel free to always contact us, reach out to us. We are here and we want to help wherever you are. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.